Good morning. It's good to see everyone, and I hope that you're having a blessed day. If you're visiting with us, thank you for blessing us by coming our way and letting us share together in worship to God. If you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to depart for today from our series on 1 Thessalonians, actually we're in 2 Thessalonians now. And also tonight from our series on 1 and 2 Timothy. I also want to begin by saying thank you. Yesterday marked 4 years since Cindy and Katie and I moved to Columbia. And it's been one of the best things that's ever happened in our lives. And I just want to thank you for your love, your kindness, your patience as we spent the last 4 years together. And I look forward to the years that lie ahead. The reason I want us to start by looking at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning is because of an advertisement, a postcard advertisement that we got here at the office. I don't remember. It was sometime in the month of December. We got an advertisement that you can see up on the screen. It says Website Health Check. It's a website hosting company, and so they're trying to promote their particular business. And what I found of interest is, how healthy is your church website? And as I looked at that, there's 5 things that they listed that you can look for. Pasty complexion, aged beyond its years, overweight, easily winded or unresponsive, and poor circulation. And then they took those physical health check things and applied them to your computer website and said, is your church website healthy? And of course, with a preacher, we kind of think differently sometimes. And immediately I thought to myself, that'll preach. Because you could take out the word website and have the same question with the same 5 things. How healthy is your church? And I thought you could take out the word church and the word website and insert the word Christian and ask the same question. How healthy are you as a Christian? And so that's what I'd like us to do today. I'd like us today to have a spiritual health check. There are 5 things that they listed in their little question on this advertisement. I want us to look at 2 this morning and 3 tonight. The 2 I want to look at this morning are numbers 3 and 4. And then tonight I want us to look at 1, 2, and 5. And this morning we're going to focus primarily on the individual and encourage each of us to do a spiritual assessment of ourselves as individuals. And though there will be congregational things involved in that, that's where our primary area of concern is going to be this morning. But tonight we're going to focus more on the congregation and look at some 3 questions that I thought had a special relevance to the congregation as a whole, though again, it will apply to us as individuals. So let's ask ourselves some pretty serious questions and find out if we are spiritually healthy. The first thing I want to do is look at what's number 3 on that list. He says that your website may be overweight. What they mean by that is it's got too much text and you don't have enough graphics or pictures. And basically when you come to the screen, there's so much text there. There's so much writing that you really can't tell what's there. It's just too much. So much so that nothing stands out and you can't clearly discern what's there. The website is overweight. You know, it's interesting, some statistics. I read one study that was done in 2004 that said in the United States there are 3.8 million people who weigh over 300 pounds. There are 400,000 people who weigh over 400 pounds. This study found that the average weight of women now is an unprecedented 163 pounds. Now, I'm not saying that to get personal with any of us, okay? That's just what the statistics say. And you've probably been hearing in the news and all this stuff they're talking about the problem with weight in our country and especially with our children. But you know, I think we don't just have a problem with physical weight. I think a lot of us as Christians struggle with spiritual weight. We are spiritually overweight. With that in mind, let's read the first verse of Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to notice what the text says. There's 2 thoughts I want to draw out of this that are related as we look at this first idea of being overweight. He says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's two things that stand out to me as I look at this particular passage. First of all, he says, lay aside every encumbrance, and then he's going to say, lay aside every sin. That word encumbrance, it may be in your translation translated as weight. It could be burden. It's the idea of something that is heavy, something that is difficult to carry, something that is an add-on and becomes a burden to us as we try to carry it. Now, I'm not suggesting we do this today, but the ancient Greeks, when they ran their marathons, they ran them naked. Their goal was to eliminate as much weight as possible. If you watch the Olympics, if you watch any major races today, you're going to find that what they try to do is they've tried in technology to design clothing that contours the human body and that is wind resistant, because they don't want anything slowing them down. Especially if you're running a 100 meter race, a fraction of a second is the difference between victory and defeat. And so just a touch of wind drag can mean the difference between having the gold medal and not even being on the stand. And so as we think about that concept, not only have they been doing it in a modern Olympics, they did it in ancient Olympics. They understood that. You know, I've got some ankle weights that Cindy got for me, and I don't run in them because I don't think it's real good for your knees and stuff, but it's great to, I walk in them. And so, like, if I'm going to be somewhere and doing a lot of walking, I'll put those weights on to try to build up my legs. But, you know, if I'm going to run out and, like, Philip Wright and run a marathon this week, or maybe Shelley Golden, and I'm going to go run in the Music City Marathon, I haven't, but if I were like them and did that, you know, I don't want those weights on my legs. You know, I can remember we used to go hike and backpacking. When I was a youth minister, a bunch of us guys would go backpacking at Monongahia National Forest, and we'd hike 8 or 10 miles back up in the woods, and we'd have 60-pound, 80-pound packs on our back because we're going to be staying there for several days. And you know, you had to take everything in there. You had to take enough food in case you didn't catch any trout, and had to take your tent and whatever you thought you were going to need over those few days. And that was a pretty tough thing. But let me tell you something. We walked in and walked out. I don't remember any of us doing much jogging. We didn't run. You didn't go in quickly and you didn't come out quickly because you had a weight on your back. Well, I think a lot of us are trying to run spiritual races with huge backpacks on our back. We're weighted down, first of all, with the world. Now, he doesn't specify. He technically says anything that weighs you down. In other words, he says basically anything that hinders my ability to be what God wants me to be and to finish where God wants me to finish. He said, I need to get rid of that. He says, that's inappropriate weight in my spiritual life. But I think we're often weighted down with the world. You know, in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus talked about those who are choked out. Their faith is choked out by the cares and the concerns of this world. Jesus himself knew that that was a reality, a possibility, that we could be so consumed with food, clothing, shelter, and just stuff that it could overwhelm our faith. And so he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, he says, don't be weighed down with a focus on things of the world. Focus on the things of God, and God will make sure that if there's anything I need in this world to survive daily, he'll give that to me. He said, I just shouldn't weigh my life down by making it my focus. Let God carry that burden, and I can just focus on what God wants me to do. And so that's why he said that in Matthew 6:33. And then we can look over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, where he says very simply, don't love the world. Don't love the world or the things of the world, for the things of the world are not of the Father. And I want each of us to think about this. Are spiritual values more important in my life, or are physical and material values more important in my life? Am I more consumed with occupation and recreation than with my spiritual vocation or calling or life? So many times we can become weighted down by pursuing stuff. You know, things we want to, education's wonderful, but if it becomes the God of my life, if it becomes more important than my relationship with God, then it becomes an idol. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren to work. And so I need to work and provide for my family. He told Timothy, if a person doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an unbeliever. But if my job becomes my God, it's an idol. It's a weight holding me down. Popularity, whatever it is I enjoy doing for recreation, all of those things can become a weight that prevent me from getting to where God wants me to be. And so I think each of us need to look at our lives and say, where are my priorities? What's important to me? And if there's some spiritual weight, some baggage I'm carrying around that is hindering my walk with God, Paul says, get rid of it. Because if we're going to last to the end of this marathon race called the spiritual life, we just can't carry all that stuff around. But he goes on and he's more specific, kind of having given a general assessment, let's lay aside anything that weighs us down. He then gets specific and says, in particular, we need to get rid of sin that entangles us. The word literally means to stand around us. It's the idea of ensnaring somebody. You know, when I was in high school, I enjoyed running track and cross country. And I remember there's a difference between track and cross country in a lot of different areas, not only the distance you run and so forth, but the terrain on which you run. You know, generally, if you're running track, you're running basically in a semicircle, and you have a nice, many times paved track. Sometimes they were cinder tracks back then, but you've got nice paved tracks. If you get to the state, you know, they have these cushioned tracks that literally you bounce as you run on them. But man, when you run cross country, I mean, you're running on streets, you're running out across fields, you're running in parking lots. I mean, you're just running, you're running in golf courses all over the place. And you've got limbs that have fallen out of trees, rocks that are sticking up out of the ground. You've got the change in the terrain. You've got the change. You're running over, you know, speed bumps as you're running across parking lots. I mean, you're just running anywhere and everywhere. And the dangers of tripping are increased. And so sometimes, like if your school is hosting a cross-country meet, then one of the things the team has to do that's hosting is they have to kind of walk the course and make sure there's nothing dangerous there. If there's a big hole, we need to fill it in. If there's a big limb that fell off a tree from the storm the night before, you need to get it out of the way because the runners don't need to trip over that. And so Paul says, as we're running the spiritual race, we need to walk the course and get out of the way the things that can cause us to stumble and fall. And he says, in particular, what ensnares us is sin. He says, sin is destroying us. I want you to look at what Paul says over in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 12. In Romans 6, verse 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, as you think about what Paul says there, he's asking us, do we have too much sin in our lives? Are we weighed down with sin? You know, sometimes we think, you know, if just one sin won't hold me back. You know, just one won't get me. But that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is that it only takes one sin to mess up my relationship with God. And we just say, oh, this one thing won't hurt, but it gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier until we stumble under the load. We're tripped by the snare that the devil has laid in our lives through that sin. And so Paul says, get rid of it. Quit carrying around that weight. Quit leaving those dangerous things lying on the trail that we're running in. And run with perseverance toward the captain of our salvation, he talks about in verse 2. Toward him, to the victory that God has planned for us. He pictures all of these great heroes of faith in chapter 11. Because in chapter 12, verse 1, he says that we are encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, the stands are filled with people. It's fun to run when you're in a setting where you've got fans cheering you on. And that point in the race, when you hit the wall and you're tired and you want to quit, and you run by and some girl you want to, you know, go out with, or some of your buddies or whoever it is that's there watching you run, and they say, you can do it. Man, it's amazing. You suddenly get this burst of energy. Okay, I can't look bad now. I've got to finish strong. And what Paul says is, we've got witnesses. We've got people cheering us on. Who are they? I think he's talking about the people in chapter 11. He's just given us this long list of heroes of faith, because sometimes when you're talking about running this life, when you're talking about giving up these things, you think, I can't do that. And so it's significant that before Paul described that race, or before the Hebrew writer described that race, he in chapter 11 said, let me give you some examples of people who've already run the race and won. And he says, as you run the race, it's as if they're lining the streets, they're in the stands, and they're saying, you can do it. God worked through our lives to help us to do it, and He'll work through your life to help you to do it. And they're cheering us on, and God's working with us, and the captain of our salvation is coaching us along the way, but that doesn't negate our responsibility to throw off the sin. And too many times, I think we're trying to keep the weight we had before we became Christians. Jesus washed it all away. But one by one, we started putting the weight back on. We start going back to our old lifestyle. And that sin destroys us. And it destroys our homes. It destroys our relationships. It destroys our hopes and our dreams. It destroys our opportunities to be ambassadors of Christ who lead others to Christ. So my question for us this morning is, what weights do we need to put off in our lives? Then I want you to notice something he says there in number 4 on our little sheet. It says, easily winded or unresponsive. When you put on a website and it takes it forever to load, you ever clicked on a website and it just won't come up? Well, what's going to be related naturally to being overweight is going to be being out of shape. I want you to notice what Paul says in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished in the words of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. I want you to notice what Paul is saying there. I found it interesting in one survey or in this particular study that I read, it said only about 30% of Americans say that they really have any physical exercise in the leisure time of our lives. That means less than a third of us are really getting much exercise at all. Paul says there's little value in physical exercise. There's some value there, taking care of my body so that I can serve God better and so I can be here longer to serve in His kingdom. But Paul says there's something that's worth a lot more. You know, I see a lot of folks here in the congregation exercising in different places. I see folks out running, or I see folks lifting weights, or doing aerobics classes, and I see a lot of the folks in Graymere focusing on those things. You have on TV and a lot of other places seen professional athletes, and you know, a lot of those athletes work out multiple times a day. I've got some friends I know work out at least 3 times a day trying to stay in shape as professional athletes. There's some value in those things. But Paul says it's small in comparison to the value of a disciplined, godly life. And what Paul says in talking to Timothy says is, first of all, we need to be nourished on the right things. If I'm going to be in shape, you know, we've talked about getting rid of sin. We've talked about putting off weight, but you know, I can put off weight and still be out of shape. I can have less weight that I carry around, but my lungs are not in shape. And my muscles are not toned. And so I may be carrying less weight, but I'm still not able to run. I'm not able to jog. It's all I can do to walk. I have no energy. I have no strength. I have no cardiovascular health. No lung health. And so Paul says it's not just enough to put off the weight of the world and the weight of sin. He says, I need to discipline my body. He says, first of all, I need to feed myself with the right things. He says, nourish with the words of God and the words of truth, Paul says here and talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want us to think about, what are we feeding ourselves spiritually? You know, some folks are just feeding themselves on televangelists who many times don't give them a full diet of the gospel. And some of the most prominent evangelists on television who are writing books, they're trying to write a book or present an evangelism that will attract anybody and everybody and will offend nobody. And so the end result is you don't get a full, healthy diet. You know, if you talk to anybody who's a trainer, they're going to say, you need to eat from all the food groups. Well, the same thing's true of God. I need the entire counsel of God. But many times we're getting, you know, just a little bit here and a little bit there. And we're reading the popular books about spirituality. And we're watching television and televangelists that give us a popular gospel. And we're not feeding on the entire Word of God. And so we end up being unhealthy and unbalanced spiritually. But Paul says it's not only important to be nourished on the right things, the Word of God, but he says in addition to that, he says we need to discipline our bodies. We need to train our bodies. What are we doing to train ourselves spiritually? Even Paul understood the need for this. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul would say that I buffet my body. The idea that he uses there for discipline my body is the idea of a slave who has been taken captive. He says, when I run, I don't run aimlessly. I run towards a finish line. He says, when I box, I don't shadow box and just box at the air. I'm aiming at something. And he says, likewise, because of that, because I have a goal that I'm aiming at, he says, I take control of my body. I take control of my life spiritually. I seek to enslave myself so I will not be, as he said to the Romans in Romans 6, be enslaved to sin so that, he says, he will not also become a castaway himself. Have we taken control of our bodies? Now, the reality is I can't do that without the help of God. I'm not going to be able to do that all by myself. But at the same time, I need to realize that God is not going to take over, put me on autopilot, and do it for me. He'll do it with me. He'll be the power behind me. But Paul says God expects me to put forth my effort. If I won't get up in the morning and run, I'm not going to be in shape. If I won't go by the club after work and lift weights, I'm not going to be in shape. If I won't change my eating habits, I'm not going to be in any better shape. In other words, many times what we want to do is we want a different outcome without changing any actions. I want to keep doing the same old stuff and suddenly everything to be different. And I think that happens in our spiritual lives. We become Christians. We never change those old habits. And I'm not talking about, you know, just the giving up of sin. But I want each of us to think about, what am I doing to be in spiritual shape? How much time am I spending in worship? How much time am I spending in God's Word? How much time am I spending in prayer? When's the last time we sat down or just driving down in the road in our car, meditated on the things of God, on what God wants for our family, what God wants for our lives, and what God's doing in our lives? Prayer, meditation, scripture reading, and worship are the building blocks of spiritual health. You know, if I wanted to get in shape and I worked out one day a week, I wouldn't be in much shape. Can we be in spiritual shape if we only show up to Sunday morning worship? You know, if I only ate once a week, I wouldn't be in any shape. Can we only read God's Word once a week when somebody spoon feeds it to us on a Sunday morning? What about prayer and all those things we just talked about? In other words, I can't just do that stuff every now and then or when I feel like it and expect to be in spiritual shape. So I just want to challenge us to don't look in the physical mirror. I want to challenge each of us to look in our spiritual mirror. And this is a time of year, you know, that everybody's talking about, here's what I'm going to do next year. I don't want you to think about what you're going to do in 2008. I want us to think about what I'm going to do different this afternoon. What am I going to do this afternoon to start putting myself in spiritual shape? You're not going to suddenly become a spiritual Olympic athlete overnight. You start with one weight being picked up. You start with one run, one jog. You're not going to do it all at once, but we've got to start. And so my goal today is that we would make the start. That we would start this afternoon and say, you know, I need to quit that because that's a weight. I need to work this year to overcome that sin by the power of God. You know, I haven't prayed in 4 days. I'm going to get on my knees and pray right now. You know, I haven't come to a Sunday night service in a month of Sundays. I'm coming tonight. It starts with one thing. And then tomorrow, you do the one thing again and again and again until it becomes a way of life. And then you go to the next machine in the spiritual workout and you say, okay, I'm going to do one exercise on this machine. And then tomorrow, I'm going to do it again. And again, and again, until before you know it, you look around and say, I've been working on all these machines. And God's working to change my life. Would you take out your song books and turn to the hymn of encouragement? I think probably a lot of folks know Lance Armstrong, the famous professional cyclist. I believe has won the Tour de France 7 times. I believe that's the record that he now holds. And I saw a commercial recently with him where, you know, he's got this Live Strong line of clothing that really kind of grew out of his struggle with cancer. And, you know, Living Strong's how he got through cancer and taking care of himself and that kind of stuff. And so they've got this line of sportswear that ties into that. And so in this commercial, this guy comes into a sporting goods store, and Lance Armstrong starts going into, you know, what he needs to do to be in shape and the mindset he needs to have and the effort and the exercise and all the things he needs to do. And he's just really trying to pump this guy up. And you can see on the guy's face as Armstrong is talking, you can see this is not really what he was looking for. And so finally, after Armstrong finishes his speech about, you know, going out there and getting it and getting in shape and all that kind of stuff, then suddenly, the guy says, you know, I just kind of wanted just a little bit of cardiovascular improvement. You know, I just wanted to do a little cardiovascular stuff. What he was saying was, you know, I really didn't mean to get, you know, whole hog into this. I just wanted just to dabble. I just wanted to maybe, you know, get on a treadmill every few days just to do a little more than what I'm doing. Why do I say that? Because I think a lot of us entered the Christian life that way. And I never really meant to go whole hog. You mean you want me to go to all services and Bible classes too? You mean I've got to quit running around with the girls? You mean I've got to quit going to the clubs? You mean you really want me to quit drinking and smoking and all that stuff I did? I mean, I really never intended to go all out. I just wanted a little salvation. And what God is doing is He's giving us salvation. But He's seeking transformation. He's seeking for us to be transformed into the likeness of His Son. The perfect example of a healthy, spiritual human being. Now, I can't do that by myself. But He also doesn't do it all for me. So the challenge for us today is say, am I in this to be like Jesus? Or do I just want a little bit of Christianity? Just enough that I can say that I'm a Christian. I want to challenge us to look at our lives. First of all, if I've never been baptized into Christ based on my faith, I'm not a child of God, and I have a deadly disease that is incurable called sin. So I am not spiritually healthy if I'm not a child of God. But most of us here are children of God. And the question for us is, have we fallen back into our old lives? Are we healthy? And if we're not, what are we doing to change that? The first step could be the step into this aisle right now as we stand and sing.